Hi, Dawson. Good morning. Today's daf is Mem Aleph. First of all, our shir this morning is dedicated in honor of the son of Daniel and Tzipi Getz, and Yitzhak Hashem, who is going to enter into the bris of Avram Avinu in about an hour and a half from now. Yitzhak Hashem, b'sha'a tova u'mitzlachos. The shir is dedicated in the schus of the Rachanimo, and we hope that Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will give him the incredible Siyata Dishmaya to accomplish great things, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give his wonderful parents the Siyata Dishmaya to raise him in the ways of Yaakov Saba Kadisha. Alright, so we left off. And as I said before, Daniel is our new, not the only poster boy, because if he could come on the morning of his son's bris, Alright, the Hamevin Yavin, not the same one. Alright, so now, as I take a look, we're going to start Mem Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom. But Amar Rabba, Rabba said the following, Ki Avinan Be Rav Huna, when we were at the home of Rav Huna, so Iboy Ilon, he asked us the following question, Bar Be Rav Di Yosef B'Tanisa B'Ma'ali Shapsa, Mahu La'ash Lume. So we'll say a totally unrelated topic. So now, the Gemara says, if somebody was fasting, Bar Be Rav is a Talmud Chacham. If a Talmud Chacham was fasting on Erev Shabbos, so what's interesting about this is, it seems to be, from the way the Gemara phrases it, is it was a common practice among the Talmidei Chachamim to actually fast on Erev Shabbos. So if a Talmid Chacham is fasting on Erev Shabbos, when does he end his fast? So the question is, does he fast? I will say again, normally when you fast for a particular day, so when does your fast end? Your fast ends at nightfall. Nightfall already is what? Is already Shabbos. In fact, remember, we start Shabbos earlier. So the Shaila is now, can you finish your fast off, even though your fast is going to extend into Shabbos Kodesh? So the Gemara says, L'hova b'yodei. Didn't have the answer. Asla kamei Rabbi Yehuda. It came up for Rabbi Yehuda. But l'hova b'yodei. So now, again, Rav Huna doesn't know the answer, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't know the answer. Amar Rava, nechse anad. So Rava said, let's analyze this ourselves. This Sanya. Test ba'av shechalios b'Shabbos. If Tisha B'av falls out on Shabbos, top of Mem Aleph. V'chein erev Tisha B'av shechalios b'Shabbos. Or for that matter, erev Tisha B'av that falls out on Shabbos. Ochel v'shoset kol tzarcho. You can eat whatever you want. U'ma'ale al shulchan afilu kisu'udas shlomo b'shaito. You can even have, for the Suda Mafsekes, even a Sudas Shlomo HaMelech. I will say, what he's referring to over here is a Suda Mafsekes. That even though normally, Suda Mafsekes is a very simple meal. Right, that just you wash and ultimately you eat something round at that meal as well. If the Erev Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, you're permitted to have a full-fledged, fleishik, so you can have whatever you want. Chalios Tisha B'Av be'Erev Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av fell out on Erev Shabbos, mevien lo kebeitza va'ochal. They bring him an egg. Now, egg doesn't have to be an egg. Egg could also just mean an egg's volume of food. Va'ochal, and he eats it. This is on the fast day. In order that he not enter into Shabbos in a state of affliction. So you see from here what's about. So you see from this braisa that even when Tisha B'Av falls out on Erev Shabbos, we give something, a little something to eat on Tisha B'Av, so that a person should not go into Shabbos in a state of affliction. Now I will say, if this is true for Tisha B'Av, then what? Then it would certainly seem to be true when Stamakam Chokam is fasting on Erev Shabbos, that the fast would have to end sometime before the onset of Shabbos. Now again, Tisha B'Av, you're not going to really end early. You'll go the whole way, but you see that you blunt the effects of the fast by eating an egg, or an egg's volume, in order that you shouldn't go into Shabbos too afflicted, too starving. So certainly the Bar Dei Rav would seem to end their particular fast before Shabbos. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Pam achas hainu yoshin lefnei Rabbi Akiva. One time we were sitting before Rabbi Akiva, the Tisha B'Av shechalios be'erev Shabbos haya, and it was Tisha B'Av that fell on Erev Shabbos. Ve'aviu lo beitza migugeles. And they brought Rabbi Akiva a round egg, which also means megugas usually means not just round, but lightly roasted egg. The gum are below melach, and he swallowed it without salt. So without salt means people apparently would not normally eat that. You wouldn't eat an egg without some kind of salt. So he ate it without salt, which was done in order to diminish his enjoyment from the act of eating. So we will say. So the Gemara seems to bring this as an illustration, ultimately, to what the Brayza just said before. That when Tisha B'Av falls out on Erev Shabbos, we eat something, a little something, before the fast is over, in order that we shouldn't go into Shabbos mu'una, in a state of affliction. V'lo shahaya ta'ivla, and in reality, the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva actually wasn't hungry for it. Ela la haros l'talmidim halacha. but rather again he was trying to show the Talmidim what the halacha was. So I'll say, amazingly enough, that sometimes the Talmidim learn more from what the Rebbe does than what the Rebbe says. I guess maybe it's not just sometimes, maybe it's all the time. Right? So Rebbe Akiva realized that he can give a shir until he's blue in the face. But you know, sometimes the Talmidim listen, sometimes they don't. What's the best way to convey what the halacha is? Do it. And they will go ahead and follow your practices. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, no, misaneh umashlim. Rabbi Yossi says, not true. You go ahead and when you begin the fast, this is what I'll say, like say on Erev Shabbos. So when you're fasting on Erev Shabbos, you begin the fast, umashlim. Umashlim means you complete the fast, even though what? The fast is extending into Shabbos itself. Amar lahen Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says to his partners in Machlokes, Iya temodim li, do you not agree with me? B'tes va'av shechalios be'echad b'shabbos, shemafsik mi ba'odyop. So do you not, Rabbi Yossi says, do you not agree with me that when Tisha B'Av falls out, on Sunday, that when do you stop to eat, Rabbi Yossi? You stop to eat already before Shabbos is over. Right, remember, we have our Sudah Mafsek a little bit earlier on in the day, and we stop to eat already at Shkia, which means that what are you doing? You are effectively fasting for part of Shabbos. Amru lo aval. They said to him, yes, correct. Amru lahem. Mali likanis bakishuhu ma'una. Mali latte tzmiyana kishuhu ma'una. What does it matter if you enter into Shabbos in a state of being hungry? Or you leave Shabbos in a state of being hungry? So Rabbi Yossi says, so again, already you see that you're fasting. You see that you're fasting on part of Shabbos. But Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday. So you're going to be hungry leaving Shabbos. What does it matter if you're hungry leaving Shabbos or hungry entering Shabbos? Amrullah, they said to him, come on. Imamarta latzeis mimenu, share achal v'shasa kol ayom kulo. Right? What do you do on Shabbos? Right? You eat. So what are you talking about? So I mean, I know we're Jewish, but an hour of Shabbos of not eating is not going to send us into, is not going to send us spiraling into Tisha B'Av famish. We're going to be okay. So the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yossi, you can't compare the two cases. In one case, you're entering into Shabbos in a state of mamish being starving. In the other case, ultimately, you've been eating the whole day. So the extra hour or however long it is that you're not eating is not going to be fine. Tomar alikanis bashumuna shlo akol b'shas chayim kulo va'amra ula halacha Rabbi Yossi. I'm sorry, I read that quickly. Amru lo imamart latzeis mimenu shari achol v'shasa kol yom kulo toma likanis bak yeshuhu meuna. So they say back to Rabbi Yossi, if you talk about going ahead and starting the fast on Tisha B'Av, where you're satiated from everything you've eaten during the day, is that enough to say that you should go into Tisha B'Av in a state of being starving, in a state of hunger, because ultimately you haven't eaten the whole day? So essentially, they tell Rabbi Yossi, it's not comparable, two different cases. So the Gemara goes back there. But Amru ula, ula said, halacha Rabbi Yossi. Halacha is Rabbi Yossi. Now we'll say again. Remember, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says misane umashlim, that we go ahead and we fast. We go ahead and we fast, and mashlim means we finish the fast. Even though what? Even though the fast itself is extending into Shabbos. So Ula says halacha Rabbi Yossi. Umi avdinan Rabbi Yossi. Do we really paskin like Rabbi Yossi? Or mini? So the Gemara raises a kasha. Ein goes rentanis alatzibor. We do not establish a communal fast day. So Rabbi said, this is talking about, usually these communal fast days were for rain. So we don't establish a communal fast day for rain on Chanukah or Purim. They meschilu, but if they started to fast, we don't stop them. Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. These are the words of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Meir said, Afa pish Amar Rabbi Gamliel in mafsikin. Right, Rabbi Meir said, even though Rabbi Gamliel said that you don't stop, meaning if you started fasting on one of these days, that you don't stop. Moda haya she'in mashlimin. He agreed that they would not complete the fast. Right, they would not fast until nightfall. They would stop at some earlier point in the day. V'chein detes ba'av shechalios be'erev Shabbos. And the same is true with Tisha B'Av that falls out on Erev Shabbos. Rabbi say, now we see something amazing. So as much as, again, Lemaisa, there are two parts to this Braisa. Part number one of the Braisa is that we don't go ahead and fast on Chanukah and Purim. But if you started, then you don't stop. But even if you started and therefore are not going to stop, Ein Mashlim, you don't fast all the way until nightfall. Okay, same thing with Tisha B'Av that falls out on Erev Shabbos. Again, that's different than Chanukah and Purim. Tisha B'Av falls out on Erev Shabbos, you can fast, but what? Ein Mashlim. You stop during the day. You stop before Shabbos. V'tanya, and the Braisa says, this is the position of Rabbi Gamliel. B'tanya la'achar p'tiras al shirab shemeng amliel nichnas Rabbi Yoshua la'hafer es tvar. So we'll say b'pashtos it seems that you'd have to change this. They changed the Mesoras Hashas for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel to Rabbi Gamliel, right? So because it makes more sense in the story. So it appears. So the Gebraisa says that after the death of Rabbi Gamliel, Nechnas Rabbi Yoshua Lahafer Estevarov. Rabbi Yoshua walked into the Beis Medrash and tried to reverse his ruling. Meaning, so Rabbi Yoshua wanted to say, well, we'll see. So he wanted to reverse his ruling. So the Gemara says, Rashi says, V'levatel Estevarov, V'lomar Mashlimin. So what Rabbi Yoshua wanted to reverse, Rabosai, was the idea of Mashlimin. That again, when Rabbi Gamliel said that you shouldn't fast on these days, well, let's even focus on Tisha B'Av for just a moment. Right there, when Rabbi Gamliel said that you fast on Tisha B'Av, well, no, we have to include the whole Braisa. That's when Rabbi Gamliel said that Eim Mashlimin, both by Tisha B'Av that falls out on Erev Shabbos, as well as a fast day that you began fasting on Chanukah and Purim, Rabbi Yeshua came in and wanted to reverse that ruling and say, no, Mashlimin. Mashlimin, that once you're fasting, you finish out the fast, whether that's Tisha B'Av on Erev Shabbos, or whether it's a fast that you began on Chanukah and Purim. Amad Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Araglav. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri stood up on his feet, and he said, Chazi Ana would appear to me, Debasar Reisha Gufa Azil, that the head should always follow the body. Kol Yomav Shabbat Gamliel Kavano Halacha Kimoso. All the days of Rabbi Gamliel's life, the Halacha followed him. Achshav Atam Mevakish Levatal Dvarov. Now you want to negate his words. Rabbi Gamliel was our head. We're the body. All the days we followed his ruling, now we're going to negate him. Yoshua, Ein Shomin Lecha. Yoshua, we are not listening to you. Shekvar Nikva Halacha K'Rabbi Gamliel. Because the halacha has already been established like Rabban Gamliel. I'm sorry? But we didn't finish the sugi yet. So now, right now, all we have is a machlokes. We don't have anything else right now. For the Hoya Adam Sheir Er Badavar Klum, Bedoro Kishel Rabbi Gamliel. Excuse me. V'lohaya Adam Sheir Bedavar Klum. And once Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said this, no one else argued. So apparently, we'll say, what does that show? That the halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel. Now, for our purposes, what does that do for us? That when Tisha B'Av falls out on Erev Shabbos, which by the way, calendrically will not happen, right? When Tisha B'Av falls out on Erev Shabbos, for us, this is that before the setting of the calendar, where it could easily happen. So now again, so what happened? After this, so now what do you see? That halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel. That's what? That when Tisha B'Av falls out on Erev Shabbos, we fast, but a mashlimin. That seems to contradict the statement that was made before that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Ula said the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that what? Mashlimin. So the Gemara says it's not a kasha. Bedoro shel Rabbi Gamliel avod k'Rabbi Gamliel. In the generation of Rabbi Gamliel, they passed like Rabbi Gamliel. Bedoro shel Rabbi Yossi avod k'Rabbi Yossi. And in the generation of Rabbi Yossi, they passed him like Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Ubedoro shel Rabbi Gamliel avod k'Rabbi Gamliel. Now is that true? The Gemara says that in the generation of Rabbi Gamliel, they passed like Rabbi Gamliel. Vatanya, but we learned. Amar Rebbe Lazar ben Sadok. Rebbe Lazar ben Sadok says the following. Ani hayisi mibnei sonav shel ben Binyamin. I am a descendant of sonav ben Binyamin. Who is sonav ben Binyamin? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Bimdei sonav ben Binyamin, Mishpachahi meshevet Binyamin, Shenafalahen gora lakarban eitzim, biyud ba'ab bimei Ezra. The Gemara talks about that when Ezra brought the Jews back from Babel. Remember, there's only a very small segment of the Jews that came back with Ezra. There were 10 families that stepped forward that agreed to go ahead and provide wood for the Ma'aracha, for the pyre, for the Beis HaMikdash. So each of those families was given a particular day on which they were to bring their wood to the Beis HaMikdash. That day when they brought the wood was their Yom Tov. One of the families was son of Shal Binyamin, and their date to bring wood was the 10th of Av. So Rabbi Lozer ben Sadok says, I am a descendant of son of Ben Binyamin. Pam achas chal Tisha B'Av lios b'Shabbos. One time Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos. V'dachinu la'achar ha-Shabbos. And what happens to both sides? So then, obviously, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, you push it off to Sunday. Now, what's interesting about that, if you're part of the family of son of Ben Binyamin, is what? That now makes Tisha B'Av the 10th of Av, and the 10th of Av is what? Is your Yom Tov. Meaning your personal Yom Tov. And what did we do? V'his aninu bo, we fasted. V'lo hishal menuhu. And we did not finish off until nightfall. Right? Interesting enough, so we fasted, but we did not finish the fast until nightfall. Why? Mipnei sheyom tov shelanu haya. Because the 10th of Av was our Yom Tov. Hainu taima. So the Gemara says, the reason why they didn't finish off the fast was the Yom Tov, because it was because the 10th of Av was an actual Yom Tov. Erev Yom Tov, mashlimin. But the inference from that is what? That if it were to be that Tisha B'Av fell out on their Erev Yom Tov, then what? They would have continued until nightfall. Meaning Rabbi Yosef, which might also just the Tanis Esther idea. Right? That the only idea, the only way, reason we would lessen the fast would be if the fast day was mamash on the Yom Tov itself. But assuming the fast day was just on the Erev Yom Tov, then what? You would go all the way until nightfall. Amar Ravina, no. Shiny Yom Tov shel Divrehem. A rabbinic Yom Tov is different. Mitoch shemis anin bo shos, mashlimin bo arabios. Shabbos, hoil ve'in mis'anin bo shos, ein mashlimin bo aravios. So Rav says something very interesting over here. So Ravina says that the Yom Tov shel Divrehem, look at Rashi for just a moment, shiny Yom Tov to Rabbanon, could go in high carbon eitzim. So this type of Yom Tov, like this Yom Tov of the family of son of Shel Binyamin, is a little bit different. Hoil, v'kalhu, shemis anin bo lushos kidiktani, this inubo, l'fichach mashlimin bo aravios, kilomar, mutra lahashlim erev osa Yom Tov, una. So the difference over here is when you're dealing with what he calls rabbinic Yom Tovim, or personal Yom Tovim, so these days are more kald to begin with. Because they're more kald, then by definition, just like you could fast for a couple of hours on these days, so to the halacha is, you would fast the entire day into the night. However, Shabbos, where we don't fast at all, there's no concept of fasting on Shabbos, although again, that concept itself, that statement might not be totally true either. There is a concept, there is a Tanis Cholom on Shabbos, but that's the outlier. Otherwise, when it comes to any established fast days, there's no such thing as a fast that happens on Shabbos. Therefore, because of that, maybe one can make the argument, Ein Mashlimin Bo Arabios. So since there's no concept of Tanis on Shabbos, therefore what? When a fast day falls out on Erev Shabbos, it doesn't make sense to what? To allow the fast to extend into Shabbos itself. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef. Look, I'm sorry. Yom Kippur is the only difference. Yom Kippur is the one. It's actually this year. Yom Kippur is Shabbos. Yom Kippur is the one exception, and the reason Yom Kippur is different also is because it's biblical. Once already you have a Doraisa, the Doraisa will trump. A Doraisa will trump anything else, even another Doraisa. Amar Rav Yosef, lo shmiya li ha shmeisa. So Rav Yosef says, I did not hear this ruling. Now, what ruling is he referring to? Look at Rashi. Lo shmiya li ha shmeisa. Dikava ula le'el halach Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, I didn't hear this idea that Ula said that the halacha follows Rav Yosef. Amalei Abaye, at Amrit Nihilan. So Abaye said, Rav Yosef, you told it to us. Right? Rav Yosef, you're the one who told us that Ula Paskin is like Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, what's the position of Rav Yosef? Mashlim. That when you are fasting on Erev Shabbos, let's say because it's Tisha B'Av, when does the fast go until nightfall, which means even into Shabbos? The aha, Amrit Nihilan. And it was about this that you told it to us. Ein goes rintanis ala tzibur b'roshei chadashim. We do not establish a fast day for the tzibur on Rosh Chodesh. The amin on Allah, and we said about this. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav zu divrei Rabbi Meir, shamar mishum Rabbi Gamliel. These are the words I will say, and this is the rites of Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim. We had this earlier. So the Gemara says these are the words of Rabbi Meir, who said the name of Rabbi Gamliel. But that's what we quoted before. About Chachamim, the Chachamim say, Misane umashlim, that a person could fast, and a person also goes ahead and completes the fast even through nightfall. My love akulu, does that not apply to all of the cases? So we'll remember, all the cases are what? All the cases are Chanukah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh, Tisha B'Av that falls on Erev Shabbos. Tisha B'Av says lo, a Chanukah uPurim. You know what it applies to? He's coming, sorry. Right, Chanukah and Purim. It only applies ultimately. Thank you, Rabbi. It only applies ultimately to Chanukah. Jose, you gotta be better with our Hakmasas Arachim. Get the gentleman a seat. All right, thank you. So now, so the Gemara says the following: My love Akulu, does it not apply to all of the dates mentioned in the Braisa? No, a Chanukah Purim. It only applies to Chanukah and Purim. Hacha Nami Mistabra. This would seem to be clear as well. So first, look at Rashi. My love. Rashi says, "Steve, can you open the window a little bit?" So it says, "Look at the last Rashi. My love." Bein achanaka upurim, bein ha'erev Shabbos, umideg agminon rav Rabbi Yossi, b'loshon chachamim, shvamina aloch. Rabbi Yossi, Srabosai, it would appear, we would have thought that this statement is about everything, meaning that all of these cases we say mashlimin. If all of these cases say mashlimin, then l'maisa, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, to which the Gemara says, lo, achanaka upurim, it only applies to Chanukah and Purim. V'halchinai mistabra, meaning Rabbi Yossi, what does it mean Chanukah and Purim? Meaning that although you're not supposed to fast on these days, if you did, still what? Mashlimin, you finish it out. So the Gemara says, "Hachinai mistabra di'i sal memavon days." Di sagadaitcha akulu, because if you think it applies to all of the cases, ha'ba'i minei Rabba me Rabbi Yehuda v'lo pashetle. Rabba asked this question of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda did not answer it. So I will say, which is a little bit strange. Because Rabbi Yehuda is quoted over here. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda over here is quoted as saying, these are the words of Rav in the name of Rabbi Meir, who said in the name of Rabbi Gamliel. But the Chachamim said that you're Misanu Mashlim. Yet before, when they asked Rabbi Yehuda the question, he didn't know the answer. That's how this whole sugya started. Ulitameich, and according to that logic, Had didarash Marzutra Mishmei Dirafuna, Halacha Misanu Mashlim. That's which Marzutra said in the name of Rav Huna, that the halacha is that you fast and you finish it out. But it also happened in the beginning of the sugi that the question was asked of Rav Huna, and Rav Huna didn't have the answer. The Gemara says, you're right, it was two different stages. One was before he heard the halacha, look at Rashi. So one is before they heard the statement of Rav, one was after the statement of Rav. The Gemara says, "Hami kamei d'shami halabas d'shami." Darish marzutra mishmei d'rafuna halacha misanin umashlimin. And I will say the halacha is that whenever we are fasting, either on an erev Shabbos or, for that matter, the cases of where a fast day began on Chanukah or Purim. Again, we're not permitted to fast on those days. But if for some reason the tzibur began in all of those situations, then lemaisa misana we fast umashlimin and we continue to fast. So I will say the one time that this does come up during the year is when Asara b'teves. Right, Asara b'teves can fall. I think a couple of years ago, actually, it did fall on Erev Shabbos. So that's an example of a tainus where actually we're mashlim. Ultimately, again, we come to shul in a state of time. And the first thing we have to eat is after shul when we get home. Like, you know, whatever it is, 9, 10 o'clock at night when we get home. Right, when we get home after right, that was early weekend. Right, so we get home ultimately after davening. That's already Shabbos has already started. And yet the fast is still going on. The halacha follows Rabbi Yossi that when fasting on the erev Shabbos mashlimin, we finish out the day. Even though ultimately you're going into Shabbos as well. Hadron halach b'kol ma'arvin.
What's this for not mashlimin on Chanukah?
It's pogim in the kedusha of the day. You know, the mashlimin by Shabbos is going into Shabbos ravenous. That's not nice. Everything is a pigam. It takes it from the covet of the day. You're going to spend the whole Chanukah fasting. You spend the whole Purim fasting. Purim is even more complicated because the truth is, Purim has a din of seuda. Chanukah doesn't have a din of seuda. So okay, you can get it, but Purim has a din of seuda. So what are you? You're literally detracting from the identity of the day. That would seem to be the logic. And remember, because over here you're dealing, there's another underlying piece which the Gemara only made quick reference to, which is because you're dealing with rabbinic fast days, then remember there's also kinds of Ta'anis Shos. I would say Ta'anis Shos means that for a rabbinic fast, you could fast for a certain number of hours, and that's significant, even though it's not a full unit of a day. Once I have that logic, that opens the door to say that I could fast, and I don't have to complete the day in order for the fast to be valid. Kamash Mullah, no. So then you get into a different issue, which is that you're not supposed to eat before Kriyas HaMegillah. So there you get into a little bit of a it's all Durabanan, correct? But even with the mitzvah Durabanan, one is not supposed to eat before performing the mitzvah. Why were they Kovea Tanis Esther? So again, because remember, Tanis Esther is not really the fast of Esther. Tanis Esther is the fast of the war. The Jews fasted before they went out to battle on Purim.
Why do it so that it presents this problem? Why
because,
it became a war?
Because historically, that's when it happened. That's the historical reality. Okay, that we're not going to do. Michael, you take on that chumrah. You lead the way. Because Chazal put it juxtaposed to it, because it's most meaningful. It's not very meaningful if you fast for the war of Purim 3 days before Purim. If you fast for the war of Purim right before Purim, that's the meaning of it. It's the meaning of it.
Mishal Tzir.
Mishal Tzir. Yes. That is correct. That is correct. That's why we allow this little siyum, this correct, in order that we should not go into Pesach in a state of rav, in a state of hunger. It's a big machlokes haposkim. There are some who are mekel to eat a little something before Pesach in order that you shouldn't go in. Right, correct. In order that you should not go into Pesach in a state of roiv. Others hold a little bit more starker that no, if you miss the siyum, you would have to fast. All right, mishol tzil nochrim aruach ra. We'll say now we get into an interesting case, still dealing with the tchum. So listen to this case. So somebody has a tchum of 2,000 amos, and what happens? I was forcibly removed from my tchum by non-Jews, by nochrim, by non-Jews. Oh, ruach ra. Ruach ra, Rashi says, shenichnas bo shade. So I was possessed by a shade. Umitarfa daito. So we'll say, we'll see. Whenever Chazal use this term, they don't really mean possessed by a shade. They mean it's somebody went out of their mind. Somebody was mentally deranged, right? Whether it's temporary insanity, permanent insanity, the point is a person was not of sound mind, was not mentally stable. So in that state of mental instability, a person left their tchum. Mishal tzil nachrim oruach ra, eino ela dalaramas. So I will say, once you are removed from your tchum, even if it's forcibly, meaning by someone else, or you did it not in a state of mental awareness, once you leave your tchum, you are limited to an area of Dalaramas. Can't shove more than Dalaramas. Hechziruhu. However, again, if they bring you back in your tchum, so this Bepashas would apply to the case of the Nachrim, as well as Ruach Ra. Ruach Ra meaning you went out in a state of mental instability, you walked back in. The non-Jews took you out of your tchum, brought you back into your tchum. Then what? Kilo lo yatsa. Then it's as if you didn't leave, which means, I will say, even though you did leave, nevertheless, what? You are given back your original tchum. Li'ir acheres. Let's say the Nachrim take you to another city. Nasnuhu bedir obesar, and they put you. Rabbi say dir or asar literally is like a corral, which is like an enclosure for animals. They put you in an enclosure. So Rabbi say the question now is, what is the status of an enclosure? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say, mahalich eskula. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah are of the opinion that an enclosed area has the status of dalaramas, and even though it might be much larger than Dalaramas, an enclosed area status of Dalaramas. And therefore Lemaisa, you could travel, you could walk in that whole area, in the enclosed area.
And it's not residential.
I'm sorry?
And it's not residential.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's not your Dira, regardless. Right? It's just, what matters to us now is that it's enclosed.
Rabbi Yoshua B'Akiva Omer, Rabbi Yoshua B'Akiva say, Ein lo ela Dalaramas.
No, not true. It doesn't matter. Even if you're in an enclosed area, once you are out of your tchum, you only have dalaramas. Ma'isa shebo'u mipalindarsin v'ifliga sinasabayav. So we'll say, the Gemara now tells a story about a bunch of rabbis on a boat, and they were coming from a place called Palindarsin. V'ifliga sinasabayav. V'ifliga sinasabayav means that the boat drifted out to sea. Apparently the boat was nearing port, and then for Shabbos, hifliga means it allowed itself to distance itself from land, and it was floating out in sea. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel, so I'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. Ve'hifliga, kishahi misrachakes misfas hayam, as it distanced itself from shore, v'nichnesas lam tsoi, and it comes into the middle of the water, kar v'haflaga, v'lashon ayafan. So what happened? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, holchu eskula. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, walked throughout the entire boat on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Halchu eskula. Hayu mahalchin v'chol asvina. De'af api shasvina holeches b'Shabbos v'yatzu chutz l'tchum. Havu k'mi sh'yatzu chutz l'tchum v'nitan b'dir o b'sar shasin mechitzos la. So let's listen to this. Now remember, this is the previous case in the Mishnah. The boat had a tchum. Right at the end of the Shabbos, the boat's in a particular, that's the tchum. The boat then, over the course of Shabbos, drifted outside of its tchum. So what is this a case of? This is a case of being removed from your Tchum Shabbos. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, remember, are of the opinion that Lemaisa, if you are removed from your Tchum but put in an enclosure, you are permitted to what? Walk throughout that entire enclosed area. A boat is an enclosed area. Therefore, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, shuffleboard on the upper deck, you know, the buffet on the lower deck, they were going everywhere. They were walking over the entire boat on Shabbos. However, Rabbi Yoshua Rabbi Akiva lo zozu mi dalet amos. But yet Rabbi Yoshua Rabbi Akiva would not leave their dalet amos the entire Shabbos. Now the Mishnah says sheratu lahachmir alatzman. This is interesting because they want to be machmir on themselves. So we'll have to see exactly what that means. Is it literally just to be machmir, or do they feel halachically that is the opinion? So we'll see. So the Gemara says pam achos lo nichnesu lenamal ad shechashecha. So one time, another time, the rabbis were on a boat. And they didn't enter into port until it was already nightfall. Amru Rabbi Gamliel, they said to Rabbi Gamliel, Ma anu leireid. So we'll say the question they had was, were we within 2,000 amos of port at the onset of Shabbos? Right? Was the port within our tchum at the time that Shabbos started? Because again, then the fundamental question is, can I get off the boat or not? Very nice, so we'll say for cruises as well. Can I get off the boat or not on Shabbos? Amar Lahem, Rabbi Gamliel said, because we'll say, remember, if the port was within their tchum at the onset of Shabbos, then they could disembark. If the port was not within their tchum, then ultimately they are limited to the boat on Shabbos. Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Gamliel said to them, Mutarim Atem, you're permitted to get off the boat. Why? Shekva hayisi mistakel, I was already looking ahead. Vahayinu besocha tchum atchlo chashecha. And I saw that we were already in the tchum even before nightfall, meaning that the port was already in our tchum even before nightfall. Now, how Rabbi Gamliel knew that, we'll have to see in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanam. So we'll say the Gemara begins a little bit of Agarata. Gimel Dvarim Ma'avirin Es Ha'Adam Al Dato Va'Al Das Kono. There are three things that make a person. This is an interesting lashon of Ma'avirin Ha'Adam Al Dato. Literally means it makes a person go against himself, which is another way of saying there are three things that make a person do bad things. Bad things that are a transgression against himself. Va'Al Das Kono, and against Ribbono Shel Olam. Eloheinu, what are they? Of de kochavim, idolaters. What that means, I will say, is that sometimes, either this is not really idolatry. This is talking about idolaters. That sometimes other people exert pressure on me to do negative things, spiritually negative things that ultimately hurt me and are an affront to God. The ruach ra is this temporary insanity, right? Temporary insanity could cause people to do crazy things. The dikduke anios and poverty. Right, they will say poverty causes a person sometimes to take desperate measures, sometimes to ultimately compromise myself and compromise my relationship with God. So the Gemara says, Lamai nafkamina. So what meaning, okay, this is very interesting, but what does it matter to us? To which the Gemara says, Lemi boy rachami alayhu. That if a person ultimately sees that they may encounter these things, that a person has to daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for divine assistance. Gimel ein roen pinei gehenam. There are three people that suffer so much in this world that they will not go to Gehenna. Meaning, their suffering in this world purges them of any type of suffering they'll have to endure in Gehenna. And these are the three. Eluhein, diktuki anius, poverty. Right, people say if a person has to suffer from poverty, again, every day could be Gehenna. Cholim ayim means intestinal illness. Right, when a person has severe stomach problems, it means they can't really function. It's difficult to be blessed. It's difficult to be around people. It's difficult to be away from the bathroom. So it makes a person's life exceptionally difficult. V'haroshos. Roshos Rashi says, now Roshos normally means government. Here Rashi understands it differently. Roshos, mishi yesh lo notion. Someone who has creditors. Right? They will say, what does that mean? Because someone who has creditors, what happens? Yeah. You know, he can't go to 7 Mile Market. He can't go here. He can't. Everywhere he goes, it's always on his mind, is he going to run into the creditors? The Yesh Omrim, others say there's another thing that's like Gehenna in this world. Af mi sheyesh lo isha ra'a. Someone who has a bad wife. Right? Someone who has an isha ra'a. So an isha ra'a, we'll make this a different time. Af mi sheyesh lo isha ra'a. So right? Even someone who has a bad wife, ultimately, what he's saying over here is being stuck in a bad marriage, ultimately, is Gehenna. Is Gehenna, and a person who has that in this world, that's Gehenna ba'olam hazeh, and a person like that is going to be purged of all of this, is going to unfortunately experience their suffering in this world. So there's good news and bad news. The bad news is, olam hazeh is going to be very difficult. The good news is that type of suffering purges one from any need for Gehenna. The idach, and the other, so why doesn't the first opinion, remember Rabbi says, so now we have a machlokis about which things are like Gehenna. So in the first list we had anios, poverty, stomach ailments, and creditors. But yet the first one left off the bad wife. Why did the first one leave off the bad wife? V'idach, isha ra'a mitzvah legarsha. Because the first opinion held that if the marriage is really bad, then ultimately get divorced. Right? There's no mitzvah to stay in a bad marriage. If it's isha ra'a mitzvah legarsha, v'idach, Zimnin diksuva samaruba. And the other one says, well, sometimes divorce is not an option. Why? Because sometimes the ksuba is too much money. Financially, you can't afford divorce. Inami isle banim minei velo matzi migarishli. Or another reason, there are children. And sometimes, even if the marriage is bad, you have to keep the family together for the sake of the children. So the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina." So what does this matter? Says, we'll say, it's very interesting that there are three things that are like Gehenna in this world, but what does it matter to us? So the Gemara says something amazing. Likabule me'ahava. It means that if Chas v'Shalom, a person has to endure these things in this world, you have to accept it lovingly. Because a person has to accept it out of Ahava, because a person has to realize that ultimately these Yisurin are being visited upon me in this world in order to purge me of any kind of hate in this world so that I should not have to experience Gehenim after 120. Shlosha Mason Kishen Misaprin. Now, this literally means there are three people that die while they're talking, which is another way of saying that there are three people that are in such imminent danger that they could just die instantaneously. The Eluhain, and these are these individuals. Choli Me'ayim. Someone who suffers from this type of intestinal illness. The Chaya, a woman who has just given birth. A woman who's just given birth, again, is in a very precarious health situation. The Hidarkon. And Hidarkon. So what's a Hidarkon, Rashi says, is Choli Hapeh. It's some kind of disease of the mouth. There's a machlokes about what Hidarkon is, but it sounds like it's some type of disease of which the throat constricts. And a person could asphyxiate, a person could ultimately suffocate. So these are things that could kill a person instantaneously. L'may nafkamina minei, right? What is it? So what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is l'mish mushe ba behu zuvdasa, to prepare tachrichim, to prepare shrouds. That a person should realize that when a person is in one of these situations, that a person should make sure to chas v'shalom have easy access to tachrichim, to burial shrouds, so if God forbid the person does die, that the levaya could be performed quickly. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman said the name of Shmuel. Yotze l'das eino ela arba amos. If a person leaves his tchum willingly, he only has dalet amos. The Gemara says, Peshitta, that's obvious. Hashta mishol tzio nochem eino ela dalet amos. Yotze l'das mi boy. So Gemara says, that's obvious. In the case of the Mishnah where a person was forcibly removed from their tchum by non-Jews, you only have four amos, then of course what? If you leave willingly, you also of course only have four amos. Ela eima chazur l'das eino ela dalet amos. It means that if a person leaves the tchum and then ultimately comes back to the tchum willingly, they only have dalet amos. So the Gemara says, Hanami tanina. That's obvious as well. Hechziru nochrin kilu lo yatsa. What does the Mishnah say? That if the non-Jews bring him back to the tchum, it's as if he never left. Hechziru di ilu lo yatsa. Aval hotziuhu nochrin. So it's only when the nochrim themselves return the individual to the tchum that it's as if he didn't leave. However, aval hotziuhu nochrin. If non-Jews took me out, the chazur ladas, and I came back on my own volition, ein lo ela dalet amos. That's obvious. Ela ima, listen to this. Rather, what is it? What's the case? Yotze ledas, the case where I left my tchum willingly, vechsiruhu nachrim, and then non-Jews bring me back into my tchum. So what's the halacha? Ein lo ela dalet amos. I only have dalet amos. So the Gemara says, hanami tanina, but we learned that in the Mishnah also. Hotziuhu vechsiruhu kilu lo yotza. What does the Mishnah say? If the nachrim took me out, and the nachrim took me back, then what? Then it's as if I have not left. I hotziuhu v'chziruhu dikilo lo yatsa. It's only if they took me out and they brought me back in, then it's as if I didn't leave the tchum. Aval yotze ledas, lo. But if I went out on my own volition, then it's not good. Meaning not good, meaning I only have dalet amos. So the Rebbe says, mahu detema, what would I thought? Let's study in katani. Maybe the Mishnah is written in sections. Mi shotziuhu nachrim v'chazer ledas. If you have a case of where non-Jews removed me from my tchum, but I came back on my own volition, ein lo ela dalet amos, only have dalet amos. Aval yotze ledas, but if I went out willingly, vechziruhu nochrim, and non-Jews brought me back in, ki'ilu lo yotza, it's as if I didn't leave. Kamashron, that's not the case. Kamashron, Rabbi said that the only time I get my tchum back is when not only was I forcibly removed, but what? I'm forcibly returned. That's the only time I get back my dalet amos. If at any point in time I did something of my own volition, I have lost my tchum for the remainder of Shabbos. Ba'umini Rabos, listen to this case, Rabos, it's very interesting. Hutzrach l'nekavav mahur. Rabos, listen to this. So let's say I left my tchum, and I only have dalet amos, but now I have to relieve myself. So if a person has to relieve, Rabos, I said, if I am limited to an area of dalet amos on Shabbos, and I have to relieve myself. So I'd like to get a little bit of distance between my new domicile for Shabbos and where I have to relieve myself. So what do I do? So now you're telling me I'm limited to Dalai Lama's, but I'd like to go a little bit further away to be able to take care of my physical needs. So what do I do? Amar Lahem, Gadol Kavod Abrios. Kavod Abrios, meaning personal dignity, is so important. Shedocha es lo saase shebetorah. That it sets aside even prohibitions in the Torah. And I will say, don't get too excited. What does that mean? What prohibition does it set aside, Rashi says? Es lo saase shebetorah. Lav de lo sasser. Torah tells us, lo sasser min adavar shegid lo chalim nusmon. The rabbis tell us to do something. When we have a din derabanan, we cannot deviate right or left. That's a din derabanan. So Kavod Abrios is so great that what does it do? It sets aside rabbinic law. Kavod Abrios does not set aside biblical law. Right? Remember what I said, the classic case of this is, if I'm standing in the shuk and I realize that my suit is shatness, what do I have to do with it? I have to take it off. I have to take it off right then and there, even though my dignity is going to be compromised. My dignity does not trump Torah law. But personal dignity does trump rabbinic law. Therefore, we're operating with the assumption over here that what? That tchumen are derabanan. Because tchumen are derabanan, so what did Chazal say? Chazal said you could walk out of your Dalai Lama's to go ahead and relieve yourself. Now listen to this. Amri Nardoi, the Nardoim said, Ipikach, if you're smart, ayil l'tchuma. You know what you should do? In your quest to find a proper place to use as the bathroom, just happen to wander back into your tchum. And once you do that, v'chevan da'al, al. Once you're back in your tchum, then what? Then what? Then lemaisa, your tchum has been reinstated. So Maestro Rabbeinu saying, number one, even though I would be relegated, even though I'd be limited to Dalat Amos if I left my tchum, I am permitted to travel past the Dalat Amos in order to relieve myself. And once I'm traveling past my Dalat Amos, Rabbeinu doesn't obviously can't walk 10 miles, but it only works, obviously, if my tchum is somewhat next to the area of my Dalat Amos, and if I'm in the course of my wandering, quote-unquote, to look for a play, proper place to relieve myself, if I happen to wander back in my tchum, I'm back in my tchum, and once again, my original tchum is reinstated. All right, we'll stop over here.
You're trying to get back to your home, sort of surreptitiously?
Correct.